Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm in a little country mood today, actually, although I don't think Stapleton is pure country. He is country rock, as we used to say in the 80s.
Took a 911 by the 107 down a back road.
You know Stapleton's music, Chris, not Chris,
yeah,
Sue.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, I have.
You do too, Fred?
I do.
I like Chris Stapleton. I saw him in concert a few years ago, but I got a couple of country artists on the bumper music today. I think I'm going to start every hour with this just because it fits.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
I just retweeted something. Now, apparently this happened yesterday in Cape Girardeau. I'm always a little nervous about things that go viral like this, but it is literally a picture of a street in front of it. It looks like a Honda dealership, and there's a car coming down this street, and the road buckles in a way that it launches the car into the air. Now, it's not like it's 15 feet into the air, but it creates this little buckled ramp, if you will, and the car goes right over it. The next car slows down. That we
it
have seen
bizarre.
Happen in St. Louis and in Missouri because of the heat. Dave Murray, meteorologist, is with us this afternoon with the latest. I don't believe he's going to offer any relief at all. Any relief at all, Dave?
No.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
I mean, this is, I don't know if it's just because we haven't had heat like this in a while, but it seems worse than, you know, maybe I remember from last summer, but this is an extended heat wave, isn't it?
It's the start, you know, officially, I think, yeah, today is officially a heat wave now. It's 3 days of 90 plus or more. So we're now in our first official heat wave. It's not really that early to have this kind of stuff. It's the records are all 100 plus. There are some people who love it, like Sue loves this stuff.
Well, Dave, I mentioned earlier, you know, I don't know if you have the records right there, but I remember my first 4 years in Missouri, and one of those was my freshman year at Mizzou, and the temperatures were brutal, and that's into, like, some of that was into September.
Oh, yes, there have been, you know, we haven't had a brutal September in a while, but same here. I remember some Septembers where, because you kind of think, oh, it's September, things are going to cool off. And it doesn't.
Not
it
always.
Just
yeah.
goes and goes and goes. You know, the record tomorrow is 102, and that's from 1988. The record on Wednesday is 103. That's from last year, 2024. So they bounce all over the place.
Huh. You know, I'm kind of I would describe myself as a dew point geek, and I think I guessed the dew point over the weekend higher. I thought, oh, this has got to be like 75, 76, and it was like 73, which is still sticky. I just looked right now, and it's at 70, so that it could get worse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The highest, I believe it's 82 degrees dew point temperature is the highest in St. Louis. And that you'd never want to see that. But that the dew point will fluctuate. You know, sometimes like first thing in the morning, even though the temperatures are a little cooler, the dew point, I think first thing this morning, the dew point was like 76. As you get into the afternoon heat, the atmosphere, believe it or not, does dry out a little bit. And but it's still, you know, anything over 70 is not good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not good.
Like when
yeah.
you're, when I've been down in Florida and I've checked, they hover around 77, 78. So that, you know, that's
right.
really, but it's sticky enough. So what's the forecast? It looks to me like we're not going to be in the upper 80s, and that would still be the upper 80s until next week.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. These big domes of high pressure are really tough to move out. We're going to get it squeezed a little bit from the northwest tomorrow and Wednesday. That's why I've got a chance of an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon after 3 or 4 o'clock. And then there's no chance of that come Thursday and Friday. So even though I'm going 95 Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going 97 for Thursday and most likely Friday. So you take out a little buildup of some cumulus clouds and you're going to add a couple of degrees. All the most will not see an isolated storm, but they will be around. What they do, it's rain cooled air, so it'll cool the temperature for about 10 minutes by about 10 degrees, and then it comes jumping back up again, and the humidity gets gets nuts. Just gets crazy if you get under one of these pop-up storms. No fun.
My lawn has looked so good through the spring, and even though I have irrigation, so I water it, you know, three times a week, I can already see it dying a slow death here this summer with this heat.
Well, do you have cool season grass?
I don't know. That's well above my pay grade. Are you kidding me? I don't know what kind of grass I have. I got the seed that was planted in the grass that was there when I bought the house. There's my answer.
You don't have zoysia.
No, I don't have zoysia. No, I don't.
Okay, then you have a cool season grass, and that no matter how much you can water and water, you want to keep it alive, but it's going dormant. And this kind of stuff, it goes, hey, you know what? This is a little out of my pay grade. I'm going to go take a little. I'm going to take a little nap for a while.
You know, I remember zoysia being a thing when I was here in the 80s. And ironically, I bought a house in Milwaukee, and I had zoysia in Milwaukee, which I thought was weird because a lot of my neighbors didn't. And then with zoysia, that just goes completely brown over the fall and the winter.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. It's a summer grass. Yeah, it's like a Bermuda grass.
Right, exactly. All right, well, thank you, I think, for the update this afternoon. I'm not exactly sure because it is hot and sticky.
Don't forget your pets. Don't forget, make sure they have added water. The biggest thing is when you walk, if you have a dog, you walk the dog, put your hand on the asphalt and see how hot it is because that's what their feet are going to be feeling like. So you want to really be extra careful with that. And a lot of dogs will show you, too. It's like, hey, buddy, this is really hot on my feet.
Well, that's some great advice, especially for me, because I have a brand new puppy. So I want to be particularly careful about that. But thank you, Dave Murray. I appreciate it.
You got it. Okay,
so this is one of those stories that I'm not going to share the entire story because we have to get to Sue's News. But I did something that I've only done a handful of times in my life last week. And that was, Alexa and I went to a movie, went and saw the new Pixar movie, Elio, which was effing terrible, just awful. Don't do it to yourself. But I let Olaf out to go pee right before we left. The puppy was in puppy daycare, and I didn't let him back in. Now, there's a little bit more to that story. And it turned, everything's fine.
Okay.
But there's we'll have to talk about it tomorrow because Fred's got some good food stories from the weekend. And we're so busy with everything from Iran. We have Congresswoman Wagner coming up after Sue's News. But remind me tomorrow because you'll both be horrified and then maybe fascinated by the results of all that. That's coming up in a little bit. But we got Sue's News next on 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Reardon Show. And I'm back after a week off.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't know how it's possible that we can make it any hotter, but yeah, sorry about that. My apologies. By the way, one of the things Fred reminded me, it was interesting. We were talking about the video, and I posted this on the X formerly Twitter. I retweeted this of a car that is coming up on a road, and the road just buckles, and the car goes airborne to a certain extent. I mean, it's not dramatically airborne. It's not like the Blues Brothers or anything like that. But I don't think I mentioned it was in Cape Girardeau. Not that it couldn't happen around here, but as soon as we ended up wrapping up with Dave Murray, they showed it. We have monitors in here, all the TV monitors, and they showed it on Channel 4. So apparently it was real. And that's kind of freaky, right? It kind of would scare the heck out of you.
Driving down the road, minding your own business. Suddenly you're airborne.
A road buckles.
Thank the Lord for cameras, because how do you explain that to your insurance company
without
them?
Seriously.
Well, that's a very good question, Ethan. And by the way, we're going to talk a little bit more about this later with Ethan and Frank Cusimano. The Cubs are in town, and the Cardinals were relatively hot last week. They won 4 in a row. They lost the game yesterday. 5 in a row? Okay, they won 5 in a row, like I said. And the Cubs are damn good, so it'd be nice to have a series victory here this week, but we got a preview with Cusimano coming up.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know, actually, it's pretty fitting that it's National Hydration Day. Right?
Yeah,
I don't know how they figure that out.
Look, I'm sitting here with a G-Zero, not a Diet Coke. I'm taking heed, Sue.
I love that.
You feeling okay with
it? It's kind of worrisome. It's also National HVAC Tech Day, I celebrated that earlier.
Not by choice.
Not by choice. No one ever does that. Really,
I celebrated that earlier today too. I tried to make an appointment. I did make an appointment with Air Comfort.
Well,
no,
go?
Listen, because my things, my thermostat saying routine maintenance,
ooh,
right? So I'm like, let's call Air Comfort because they installed my geothermal. The first appointment that they had available, take a shot.
Friday?
July 31st.
What?
July 31st.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I took it.
Well, I guess they're not thinking thermal at this time.
Well,
but
I think that everyone is demanding the same thing.
No.
And then, you know, you have breakdowns and stuff like that, like you had.
Yeah,
today,
you do. Wow. It's also National Pecan Sandy Day. And I like a pecan sandy. Have you had those, Fred? You're looking at me weird.
Yeah. I like pecans.
Well, what is that exactly? What's the sandy part?
They almost look like a sugar cookie, although they're buttery.
Do you notice how she corrected you?
They do look good.
I deserved it.
No, I said it myself. That's why I thought I sounded weird.
Pecan.
But they're really good, although they can be dry, extra butter, as Mark Reardon, cookie expert, should know.
I do like them. I do like them a lot.
And it's National Detroit-Style Pizza Day. Now, I'm not really a Detroit-style pizza person, but I tried it recently, and it wasn't bad. It's almost like eating bread on the crust. I'd rather have thin. What are your thoughts, Fred?
It's not my favorite, although there's not many pizzas I don't like. But I think we talked about that with Ryan Recker when he was filling in for Mark last week about a Detroit-style pizza.
It's unfortunate.
It's not real popular anymore.
You know, I don't know if I've ever had this, but I can tell you right now that there's 0% chance I wouldn't love this. This looks amazing. I think I love the deep, gooey cheese. I love that. That looks so good.
Is it kind of square looking?
Yeah.
Well, they describe it here on the AI as Detroit-style pizza is square-shaped, thick-crust pizza known for its crispy, cheesy edges.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that the tomato sauce is applied in racing stripes on the top.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Key as well.
It's weird. But it's not like Chicago. I prefer a Chicago deep dish to this. But it is kind of like having if you like bread, there's a nice piece of bread under there that's, you know what I mean? It's kind of bready.
That's why I trend these days more and more, and I used to be a, you know, deep dish Chicago person, but I trend toward the thin crust because of the carbs and everything.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know.
And Emos has that really good unsolicited promotion here. That cauliflower crust that's really good. You can't tell the difference.
Sounds way too healthy for me.
It's good.
I don't
notice
the difference.
I'm gonna stop at the G0. The G0 is too far from me.
Wait, Fred, you said you don't notice the difference?
No, my wife has made pizzas at home with cauliflower crust.
You can't really tell.
I may have to check that out.
Okay, we were talking about Ethan going to the Muni. It was really hot. He lived.
I did.
And,
I did indeed.
But Fred, we were going to discuss when something occurred in this studio that we thought we'd tell Mark about when Brad was in.
So Brad Young was saying that he was going to the Muni also on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he has this, if people behind him are talking, there's a process.
Yes.
First, his wife will turn around and give them the stern grade school teacher
Absolutely.
Look.
Absolutely.
If that doesn't work, she'll turn around and shush them.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work, the third time, Brad turns around and pulls out of his pocket a business card that says, "Stop talking."
I love that.
In capital letters.
Well,
and he hands that to the person.
Yes. That is so awesome because, you know, I've chronicled some of these stories before. I can't remember the band I was seeing. Maybe it was Silver Sun Pickups at the Stiefel a few years ago. And these people behind me wouldn't S the F up.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote a note in my iPhone on my notes and said, basically, S the F up. I almost said the word. That would have been bad.
You need these cards instead.
Because I'm going to buy some of those cards. Because I do the same thing at movies. At movies, remember when I used to do the feature Lawmaker for a Day, Fred?
Yeah.
I'd have people kind of chime in on things that were basically pet peeves. And my number one rule would be, and this might be generous, I have a 3-strikes-you're-out policy. If you talk in movie theaters, you're done. You can never go to a theater again.
I get it.
And he says, you know, I said, well, Brad, don't people like get mad at you and stuff? And he says, I don't care. What do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, you know, I can take him to court.
I love that his wife. I love that his wife takes the first 2 steps.
Yes.
And then finally the lawyer moves in and says, "Stop talking."
Like, get out, Papa Bear.
It just says "Stop talking." Nothing else. It's brilliant.
Yeah. That is brilliant.
I'm gonna
request copies of those.
Okay,
Mark, you'll have something to say about this, as you mentioned it earlier. Pixar's Elio set a record this weekend, but it's not one that the company can be proud of. It did $21 million at the box office. It had the worst opening ever for a Pixar movie. And I guess word had gotten out that it wasn't good. You saw it.
It was awful. It was terrible. Now, you're talking about like a year ago, I saw Inside Out 2. I thought Inside Out 1 was good. 2 might have been even better. Mm-hmm. This is a company that's given us great, you know, Toy Story movies.
Yes.
Just so many great films. They have complete. Now, they had that one movie 10 years ago, A Good Dinosaur. That was terrible. So they've thrown in some clunkers. But, like, the movie Up is one of my favorite movies
great
of all
one.
Time.
Oh,
not
it's
not
so
only one of my
wonderful.
Favorite animated movies, but how have the mighty fallen, I would say, because it was awful.
Let me ask you this. When I saw this trailer, I was like, this looks stupid. What was it just because you want to go out to the movies and see something? Like,
yes.
What made you want to go
yes.
see it?
Yes. No, because I was off last week
kids
and Alex
movie.
And I were trying to do things
okay.
and she had swim practice and a swim meet. So we picked Thursday as the day we went to the movies instead of going to the pool.
Okay.
And she liked it better than I thought she would because she's pretty discerning when it comes to this. But even the plot was just so simple. I can't imagine being at one of the biggest animation studios on the planet with one of the best track records. You know, it's separate from what they do with the traditional Disney animation.
Right.
I don't remember a Pixar movie outside of The Good Dinosaur being this bad. I really don't.
Well, that's a shame. Well, the box office reflected it, and How to Train Your Dragon stayed at number one. I feel like I'm saying things weird today. Did
no,
you hear
I,
that?
No, I heard you.
Dragon? What am I saying?
Can I say this?
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon, the original animated movie, is one of my favorite animated movies of all time. Like
nice.
Up, okay?
It's because it's awesome.
This was pretty decent, though.
See, I'm surprised by
it
that.
It was the same director, Dean
oh,
DuBois.
Maybe that's
I
it.
Thought that was interesting.
Maybe that's
now, look, I'm very partial to Jay Baruchel's voice as Hiccup, the character. But look, especially if you've never seen the original, they did a good job with it. They really did.
That's fair. Well, Tesla's robo-taxi service began in Austin, Texas yesterday. I always think of Fred when I think of these because, I don't know, Fred doesn't want to get in a car that nobody's driving. Right?
No, you're right.
I don't think I do either, Fred. I'm with
you. I mean,
you.
Well, apparently that's a thing because these Teslas will have drivers for a little while as they test it all out. I think people get a little freaked out by that. So Elon Musk says a ride will be $4.20. His plan is to go from 10 to 1,000 robo-taxis pretty quickly. I think I would do it. Right? You're not going
with
on a
no
major
hesitation.
Road trip. Well, I think it would be an adventure. Right?
So Jennings has a EV that self-drives. And when they came in, Joe Arnold and Scott Jennings came in for that game, they used it.
Oh
and they
gosh.
Sent me a picture. And Joe, on the way from Louisville all the way back, was just terrified. He hated it. And
oh,
I think I'd be
funny.
Very nervous. And it apparently it's pretty reliable. I
it
would
is.
Hope so.
That, I guess Mike was in one where they, you know, we went to the grocery store with a friend who had one, and the car just came up and got them, and they got in and
yeah.
freaked everybody out. But he said it was fine.
It's very common in San Francisco, I think.
Wow.
Is that maybe
oh,
the
yeah.
market
in
that
fact,
they use them the most?
Austin already has Amazon Waymo and Alphabet ZooX robo-taxi services, and Waymo is the one with the that they, what I guess Waymo. They have the most in use. They have 250,000 paid weekly trips, but that includes L.A., San Francisco, and Phoenix. So the people there are getting used to it.
I guess you would get used to it, maybe.
But I would try that. It's
till the road buckles in front of you.
Well, that's true. All right, I have another story for Mark. A potty mouth parrot in Massachusetts is in the news because he won't stop swearing. But a ton of people want him anyway. And more than 50 people from all over the U.S. and Canada have filled out forms to adopt. Now, we've got some sound from all Chantel right. Rogers. She's an administrative assistant at Forever Paws Animal Shelter, talking about Hendrix the parrot.
We try not to react because we don't want to encourage it. There's times we have to leave the room to laugh. He was being fed human cereal, white bread. That's why he's missing most of his feathers. It's malnutrition. If you call him a pretty bird, he'll say thank you. Other than the niceties, that's as far as the niceties go. The rest of it is slurs, cusses, things I can't repeat on camera. The first time I heard him drop the MF-er word, it was the first thing I thought of was snakes on a plane. We didn't want somebody to bring him home, and then all of a sudden he starts throwing slurs around, and you had no idea you were getting into this.
That is awesome. That's my kind of parrot, by the way. I would love that
the
parrot.
The best part is that he has, like, no feathers, so he looks like this raggedy
yes.
thing. That's
yes.
the best
he's
part
he's a
of
street
it.
Parrot.
That's so funny.
Let me tell you, if any of my animals could speak, they would probably speak like I do, unfortunately.
Finally, in Sue's News, a quick random fact. Trick birthday candles that reignite after you blow them out have been illegal in Canada since 1977.
Whoa, what caused that?
No idea. Maybe they burned be. Something.
They don't have enough freedom up there. Fred, come on, man. That's why I love America, right?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The United States should not be in an offensive war against Iran without a vote of Congress. The Constitution is completely clear on it. And I am so disappointed that the president has acted so prematurely.
What the president did here is definitely outside of the War Powers Resolution, and I think outside of the Constitution.
The president absolutely failed to follow the Constitution, and now we're in war without congressional authorization.
Yeah, there you go. Shocking that the Democrats would respond that way. Congresswoman Ann Wagner of the 2nd District here in Missouri with us this afternoon with her perspective. Hello, Ann. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. I just got back to D.C. It's good that I'm speaking with you and your listeners now because I'll be heading down to a classified setting for most of the evening in a skiff to get the rest of the story. So I can talk to you before I know all the things I can't talk to you about. How's that?
I think that that's fine. Let me start, though, with the allegation that Congress should have had to approve this. What is your position on that? I mean, obviously, I think it's different than going to war with Iran. And I guess we have ramped up, action from Iran on Israel this afternoon. But on the War Powers Act in particular, your thoughts on that?
President Trump clearly had the authority to do any kind of limited strike that he did. That is not in question. That is Article 2, Section 2. President shall be commander-in-chief. It's very, very clear. This was done by Obama, by Biden, by Clinton. This was a surgical decision aimed at, frankly, saving American lives, and I fully support it. It was the right decision. It was an exercising what, he and others have called peace through strength. It is nothing broader than that. We are not at war. It was a targeted strike. And if they want to rewrite history or the Constitution, they can play all the politics they want. But I think when we're in a serious situation like this, when we've got 40,000 troops over in the Middle East and in theater in harm's way, over 700,000 Americans who live in Israel, plus countless other assets, they ought to be a little more careful and measured in their words.
I would think so. I haven't tracked every Democrat in Congress, but John Fetterman certainly is on your side and on the side of what you just said. I don't know why this has to be a partisan issue. Why I can see some of the crazies out there claiming the same things, and then maybe that's what we heard in the soundbites, but this should not be a partisan issue for members of Congress.
Be.
Yeah.
It should not be. And there are many Democrats in the House side that that agree that it was beyond time for President Trump to take action. He'd given them months and months and months. Let's face it, Mark, it's been 45 years that we've been back and forth.
Yeah.
All right. And we are going to do whatever it takes to keep Americans safe. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association, said that it was imminent and near. There are other reports, some of which I will not go into, that talked about the nuclear proliferation and how close Iran was. And everyone has said over and over again that Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. And let's hope. We'll wait and see the battle assessment. I've got to give, high praise to our brave men and women. We had one woman who also bombed out of
Whiteman. Yeah.
Very exciting. They completed their mission. It was an incredible, incredible feat full of lots of drama here, but including decoy.
Yeah. How about that? Right.
Stealth bombers that that went. Yeah, everybody thought that they were heading heading to Guam, so to speak, and going to lay over there and move. But no, the real bombers there were seven left Whiteman Air Force Base, our own Whiteman Air Force Base, left and flew east over the Atlantic. They had multiple escorts, and from F-18s to 35s to 22s that all, you know, refueled and escorted them across. And they dropped a total of 12 of what I'm going to call these Boeing bunker busters or mop bombs that have incredible range. They can go down some 200 feet, 20 stories, and if you look at the two sets of three strikes, so there were a total of six strikes, they went in with the first six, and then they followed up in the same holes, the same position, with another six, so a total of 12 that actually went in first to Fordo, and then it was followed up with two more that went into Natanz. And then at the same time, the USS Georgia fired about 30 Tomahawk cruise missiles into Esfahan, and all of them successful, all done within 39 hours, no casualties, everyone made it back, took out centrifuges, enrichment, research and development. This is the first time we've ever used these Boeing bunker busters in combat, so it's a pretty amazing feat that was accomplished, and only United States of America could do it. Only the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber could get there and set off this kind of explosive power.
On the B-2s, I don't know, I have a military expert coming up after 5 o'clock, but how did they actually do the 37-hour round trip and sleep and use the facilities and do other? Do you have any idea how that works? I'm just curious.
They, believe it or not, there have been some specials and things on this, and they've got flight crew on board that they do shifts,
yeah,
and take
right.
turns, and they have to eat something, obviously.
Yes,
they
yes.
have to go to the restroom and such, so there's a rotation of sorts. Now, was adrenaline flowing and everything else? I'm sure that's the case, but these are really incredible precision-guided, these bunker buster bombs. We developed them here in the U.S., Boeing did, between 2005 and 2015. And literally, these things go about 20 stories down. And if you follow it up with yet another one, it goes even further down.
Yeah.
So we'll see what kind of damage has been done and what the battle assessment is. And but this was a very targeted strike in order to keep American citizens and our assets, and obviously our greatest ally in the Middle East and our friend Israel,
yeah.
safe.
So let me ask this, Congressman Ann Wagner. Jen Griffin is doing a great job on Fox, and one of the things she said, because obviously Qatar has been targeted today and we have a military base there, she said if they wanted to, if Iran wanted to send more missiles and floating drones, they could do it. They have the capability. This doesn't not what, what happened Saturday doesn't wipe out their military capability. Now, they've got fewer members of their leadership, certainly, but what would you say, because it seems it's even been described as a measured response. So then the follow-up to that would be, well, what then would the negotiations and diplomacy look like from here?
Well, we're still looking for diplomacy. At any time that the Ayatollah, you know, wants to surrender and give up a full future and downstream enrichment of nuclear material, wants yeah. to have a ceasefire, stand down his proxies, which are, you know, the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah, and other sleeper cells that are sadly around the world and throughout the United States of America. He can do so, but it would mean complete surrender and standing down, and we are very, very much open to that. And yes, Iran apparently recently here, this afternoon, did launch, depends on maybe 10 to 14 short range ballistic missiles into Qatar. We do have an air base there, but we took them down with our THAAD and our Patriot defense system.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there was no damage. The president's not going to react to this, I don't believe. So why would he? We can
right,
easily
right.
take those down. So, you know, we do not want one American to be harmed, and we do want for Iran to surrender and come to the table. And if this moves that process along, then great, so be it. If they choose a different route, then who knows what their own
right.
people will do? Who knows what Israel will continue to do? And here's the thing. They do have more. Iran does have more ballistic missiles. But Israel has taken out a good many of their launchers and obviously their scientists, their research facilities. I mean, they even bombed the kind of the doors or the front end of one of their prisons where they have political and dissident prisoners held up. I think they'd like to foment another green revolution, perhaps where the poor people of Iran who have been suffering, the people of Iran, not the leadership,
yeah,
not the
right,
IRCG,
right.
not the Ayatollah, the people. They need to rise up.
Well, that would have to happen from within. And, you know, one of the things I think even I heard Jen Griffin say this, that there's not been a lot of activity on the ground in Iran. So you have to wonder we don't even really know how much coverage this is getting in that country, right? Because they can block
zero.
Coverage.
Yeah, zero
exactly.
in the country. They've taken down all the internet,
right.
every feed. They have no idea. And one of the things I saw come across the wire is that Iran, the IRCG, and the Iran leadership is claiming that they took out some huge, you know, U.S. Location in Qatar, and that didn't happen.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
did not happen. Thad and the Patriots took them down, and so they've got anything that may be getting out is propaganda. But really, they're kind of they didn't see us coming. We had free and full access to their airspace. And let me tell you, when one of these stealth bombers comes in from Whiteman Air Force Base, they're not alone. Okay, as I said, the support.
Yeah, they have escorts and everything, right?
The fighter escorts are just amazing. And they were completely undetected. So yeah, we'll see what happens in the coming days. I don't believe that Israel is going to take their foot off the gas until they've got more work they want to get done there in terms of other locations and sites and things that they would like to flatten. And, you know,
we'll have to see.
We'll just have to see where things go.
One thing that I think is safe to say, and maybe the world realizes this, that President Trump says what he's going to do. He doesn't just threaten. They're not veiled threats. He tells you what's going to happen, and it kind of happened, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did. Because you know what? Back in April, he told the Iranians, you have 60 days.
Yeah.
60 days. And then on June 13th, which was day 61, Israel started its war in Iran.
Yeah, it was 10 days ago. That's when you and I spoke last,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Correct. And that's
right.
when they started to level things. So it was on day 61. He's very specific on these things and sticks to it and has continued over this entire 10-day time period to say, come to the table, surrender, give up your nuclear program. We'll meet here. We'll meet there. He sent envoys all over Europe and all over the world to try and sit down. And
Maybe they got the message with the bunker busters. We'll have to see. And I know you're going to have a busy week, but maybe we'll catch up later in the week. I really appreciate it this afternoon.
You bet. My pleasure. Take care.
Cusimano is coming up next. The Cubs are in town for a big series. Sue, I had a little breakfast meeting with the guy who I went to J school with. We haven't seen each other in 40 years. I graduated in 86. He graduated in 87. But, you know, the Facebook kind of keeps people in touch.
True.
But he's here because he's a Cubs fan. He grew up in Buffalo Grove. I grew up in Niles Park Ridge in Wharton Grove before I moved here when I was 14. But I like to say I was not infected by the Cubs virus. Thank God. There was a vaccine, I think, that I took. But Frank Cusimano's with us this afternoon. This is a big series at Busch Stadium. How are you, Frank?
Yeah, it is. It is. Think about this. By Thursday at 4 o'clock, we could be a half game out or we could be 8.5 games out. So it is large. And it's a big one tonight in particular. They're throwing a pitcher with an ERA in the fives. We're throwing Matthew Liberatore, who for the most part has been pretty good all season. So you'd love to win the opener here.
So you're coming off a stretch of 5 in a row. You don't get the win yesterday with Michaelis on the mound. But obviously the Cardinals, now the White Sox were involved, so you have to have a little asterisk there. But look, I will tell you this. A week ago, I was off last week. We didn't speak. I was was very concerned that the slide was going to go even deeper because, well, I'm pessimistic. You keep thinking, all right, this team has been pretty good. Now you got an injury, though, with Herrera. How bad is that, by the way?
It's going to be 2 to 6 weeks. Yeah, that hamstring. And that may bother him for a while. So that is a devastating blow because you could make a case when he's right, he's probably your best offensive player. And speaking of offensive players, Mark, take a long look in center field tonight for the Cubs. I just got finished interviewing him. His name is Pete Crow Armstrong. He already has over 20 homers and over 20 stolen bases. He's got 61 RBIs. He plays center field like Jim Edmonds. I mean, he's got a lot of Mike Trout in him without quite the body, but he is a special talent and only 23 years old.
But he came from their system. That's where he was developed in the Cubs system?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, he was traded. He was traded.
Wait, no, yeah, he was in the trade. What trade was he?
Was he in Baez? The Javi Baez trade?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's from interesting New York. Because you just told me 10 minutes ago that Baez was a guy he tried to pattern his game after, speed and power. So sometimes you think about those deadline moves, they do work out.
Wow.
They have for the Cubs.
Well, yeah. Matthew Liberatore is a guy who, you know, seemingly is working out a little bit for the Cardinals right now.
Yeah, there was a time, like earlier in the season, where you thought, boy, this is going to be I'm glad we made that trade. And then he had the arm fatigue. But I still believe when you're 25 and you're lefty, you got a knockout curveball, and you throw 96, there's a good future for you.
So outside of this Pete Crow Armstrong, I love that name, by the way, what is making the damn Cubs so good right now? Obviously, pitching has to be a big part of it.
Actually, it's more on the offensive end. I mean, I was looking this up today. I had Andy Van Slyke on for a while, and we were looking at the wins above replacement stat, which is really – really all-encompassing. And we're like, Brendan Donovan is our number one guy. Well, they have six guys with higher wins above replacement stats. I mean, their offense with these on-base percentages is just insane, whether it's Ian Happ or Kyle Tucker or Suzuki, who's got 60-plus RBIs, Michael Bush. I mean, they are loaded offensively, the first five or six hitters in their lineup.
Did you see, I mentioned this a little earlier, man, I can't even imagine playing in the heat, but Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, day games, and De La Cruz from the Reds, he just pukes right in the middle of the infield.
Yeah, Busch Stadium holds the heat well, as Casey Stengel once said in 1966. Yeah, it was brutal yesterday. I don't know how fans, and believe me, there were a lot of fans at the game, but when you looked at like the television cutaways, you didn't see many of them in the stands because they were trying to stay cool.
Yeah, the last time I went to a game like that, and I try to avoid games where, you know, it's that hot, we froze towels and brought the towels. And that guess what? For those of you who might consider, it doesn't help. It really doesn't help.
Well, longer than 10 minutes, right?
All right, well, let's see. Is this a three or four game series?
Yeah, I just spoke with Joe Strom, by the way, who handles the tickets for the Cardinals. They'll have 27,000 to 28,000 tonight. So not great, but not bad for a torturing night of heat.
Well, the crowds have been building a little bit, though, haven't they?
Oh, no doubt about it. The Dodger game. And it's a shame this is not a weekend series because it was like Thursday through Sunday. You may have some 40,000, you know, seat games.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. All right. Thank you, Frank. We'll talk on Friday afternoon. I appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.